Talk, your place to find hope, get help, discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today to join us. And we're going to talk about something that we don't hear very much about in the news. It's under the radar of most people. Occasionally, stories come out every once in a while, high-profile cases. But for the most part, we are not exposed to the sufferings of the church in various parts of the world. The persecuted church, believers today are suffering for their faith, and we know little about it. Well, we're going to help that today because our guest is Sarah Liu. Sarah is from China. Sarah was persecuted for her faith. Sarah was tortured. Sarah was imprisoned, and she's here to tell us her story today, not to throw guilt on us or make us feel bad, but to inform us and encourage us to remember that the body of Christ suffers and that mature Christians have learned to weep with those who weep and also to rejoice with those who rejoice. And so today we want to learn to weep perhaps about some believers that are suffering greatly around the world. So Sarah, glad to have you on Peace Talk today. Tell us a little bit about yourself now. You're from China, but how old are you?
Oh, I was born in 1971.
Okay, so you're just over 30 years old, and the story we're going to tell happened about 10 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, I think about 8 years ago.
8 years ago. All right, and tell us a little bit about yourself. You were born in rural China. How did you come to know Christ?
First, my mom became a Christian. My mom prayed for me, then taught me the gospel. Yeah, then I received Jesus.
And you were part of an underground church, weren't you? A house church at that time.
When Jesus received me, I became the evangelist in a house church.
And we were talking the other day, and you were here in the Greenville, South Carolina area for a Voice of the Martyrs conference, and we'll talk a little bit about Voice of the Martyrs before we're done. But you had one Bible in your church, didn't you? And what did that one Bible mean to the Chinese believers?
Wow, this is true because my mom became a Christian, go to church, almost copy the Bible verse back. Then my mom said, this is a very precious book. We couldn't get home. We only can copy and then go home to memory.
So the Bible became very dear to you, didn't it?
Oh, for me, this is really truth, way, and the life.
And one of your functions, I believe, in the church at that time, you edited their little underground newspaper.
Yeah, my church have a magazine, so I'm edit. A lot of their amazing experience in Jesus.
Okay, and tell us about the night that you were arrested and finally imprisoned, which was the third time that you had been arrested, wasn't it?
The third time I was arrested in 2001, for me, it's a big challenge, my faith.
What happened that night?
My co-worker and me stay at member's house at like 11 o'clock. We're sleeping already. Policeman broke the door, window, and got into the house. Then arrested us, gave us handcuffs, put us into the police car, sent us to police station, separate us, question us. So there were about 7 policemen around me. They tortured me, said a lot of bad words to me. Actually, they asked me question, where is my pastor? Where is the phone number connected with the members? A lot of that kind of question I couldn't give answer. Then they beat me using the electric bar, put it into my hands. I yell out and put it into my mouth. Then the whole mouth boiled. 1 week I couldn't eat, couldn't drink. Finally, they put the shackle on my ankles. So pushing me to walking the whole night. Then my feet totally broken, bloody. Then they use their feet, mash my finger. So my mouth painful, my finger painful, my feet painful.
And they wanted you to sign a document, didn't they? And to tell not only confess and turn from your Christianity, but to turn in your fellow believers and give them information about those other believers. And you wouldn't sign that document, would you?
That's true. I don't want to betray the Jesus Christ. I don't want to betray the brother or sister in Jesus Christ.
You can see Sarah's story, and I want to mention that right here. If you need to write this down, please do so. We'll mention it again. But you can go to the internet, go to YouTube, and pull up Sarah's Trail of Blood. And there's a six-minute video there where you can see Sarah's story. I know hearing it, it has one impact, but when you can actually see Sarah recreating what took place that night of her arrest and of her torture, and she calls it Sarah's Trail of Blood, and it's on YouTube or at the Voice of the Martyrs website. You can find it. I encourage you to please go take a look at the video. But what was it about that trail of blood when you saw that and you were about to give up, weren't you? You were at the end of your rope in your mind, weren't you?
You know, for me, I know Bible taught us forgive other people what you hate or they persecuted you. But, you know, I'm a human being. I still have my mind because they beat me so hard. They beat my brother and sister in the church very hard. I hate them.
Okay, and so you're walking. They made you walk all night, didn't they? Just back and forth, chained, walking back and forth. They wouldn't let you stop.
Yeah, whole night, and don't let me drink water. Don't let me go to the bathroom.
So they're doing everything they can to break you down, aren't they?
Yes.
And then tell the story that it's why the video is named Sarah's Trail of Blood. But tell us what that trail of blood, how that impacted you when you realized the bloody trail that was on the floor from you.
Yeah, when I was beaten, my blood is bleeding on the floor, making me think about Jesus Christ. He carried the cross, walking to the Golgotha. He laid down his life on the cross for me, and his hands, his feet is bloody for me. Then give me strength. I know he loved me more than I love him.
And that was your strength, what, at that moment?
Yes.
Now, at the moment that you were imprisoned and tortured at this time, you'd only been a believer a very short time, hadn't you?
First time I was arrested is a very short time I was arrested, yeah.
So, and you know very little of the Bible, huh? I mean, except from this copying that you've been doing back and forth, and yet you know enough of the Bible to find strength.
No, I don't know anymore. I just hear something about Jesus laid down his life for me. This is, key point for me.
So I want the audience to understand, we're not talking about somebody who has been steeped in the scriptures for many years, somebody who has had a walk of faith for many years, somebody who has been a thriving outdoor church. We're talking about a young lady, hardly a believer at this point, knowing little of the Bible, not even having a printed copy except the one that she's made for herself in all this period of time. And now she's being asked to make decisions. In your little videotape, you talk about yourself being humiliated, weak, helpless. It doesn't sound like a hero, does it? Doesn't sound like a real victorious person. You were going through serious personal struggle, weren't you?
Yes.
You said you were about to quit. In fact, you almost thought, why don't I sign the document, huh?
Because I didn't read the document. I don't know what they said. But they told me I should give up my faith and I should tell them everything, my brother, sister, where they are, my pastor, where they are. So I reject to sign.
And I want you to visualize this. And maybe the best way to do it, those who listen, those of you who have daughters, think of your daughter 19, 20, 21 years old. Think of her being arrested. Thinking of her tortured, punished, cigarettes placed into her skin, her feet and her body is beaten, and all of these things, and all of these thoughts that are going through her mind as she walks back and forth, chained, and notices her own trail of blood. Put that in the context of your own family. As a parent, what would you think if that was happening to your daughter that day? But that's exactly what happened to you, wasn't it, Sarah?
Yes.
Now, when all of this was going on then, and then you spent, what, 6 years in prison?
Yeah, total 6 years.
And what was that prison like for you?
And the prison, you know, they give us a meal every day, but just a rotten meal, no nutrition. That's about the meal, about our physical, the free, yes, we know physical free, because they give you walking a lot, like a whole day. From morning, we get up at 5 o'clock, then we have a breakfast, we should go to the factory or go to the field, Pilates field. So we go to bed, maybe at about 11 or 12 at the light, so only have 5 hours for sleep, free for walking, no money give us.
Little food, little sleep, and working. And you'll find out, you know, you might say, well, wow, what she was doing when she was working. Part of that time, she was making Christmas lights for American Christmas trees. Now think about that for a second. Then, and particularly think about it the next time you string your Christmas tree with those lights. Remember, those lights may have been made by a persecuted believer in China. And just think about it, and don't feel guilty. That's not necessarily a reason to say, well, I'll never put Christmas lights. I mean, you may want to respond that way, because American companies and American business and the Chinese economy are depending sometimes on the slave labor, sometimes of believers, to produce these products. And so you may say, hey, I wouldn't do that again. But just remember, when you see those Christmas lights, to remember that people like Sarah force for their faith to make those things, and remember then the persecuted church. Sarah, we got to take a break. We're down to the last minute of this first break, so I'm going to let you take a little break, and we're going to stop. When we come back, I want you to talk about the peace that was in your heart during the time of your imprisonment as a young believer, tortured and imprisoned for your faith, because our program is all about peace, and we want folks to know how Jesus met you in the prison in forced labor in China. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
God, thank you so much for
Daddy, who are you talking to?
I'm praying to God, Peanut.
But you don't have your eyes closed. Can God still hear you with your eyes open?
The more you pray, the more your children learn about God.
God is everywhere, and He's here in your heart. He will never leave you or let you down.
Just like you?
Even better, Peanut.
Pray with your family regularly and watch your relationships thrive. For more family prayer tips, visit facebook.com/makeeverydaycount.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. It's Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're glad to have you with us. If you stuck with us through the break, we're glad to have you back. And if you're just joining us, we have a very special guest in the studio today that we're talking with, Sarah Liu. Sarah was imprisoned in China for her faith. A young girl, 20, 21 years old, tortured, beaten, imprisoned for 6 years, all because she knew Jesus, a member of an underground house church in China, and she finds herself a young lady imprisoned because of her faith. In the first half of the program, Sarah mentioned that she hated the people that held her captive. And this is a story that we've heard before on Peace Talk, when believers have found themselves in the clutches and under the control of very wicked people and mean people and people who mean them harm. And they understand that down inside in their heart, there's a lot of hatred and unforgiveness. And Sarah, that was your experience. You hated the people at one time in your life who held you captive, who beat you, who tortured you.
Yes, because I'm a human being. When I think about them, they beat me to death very hardly. I think they beat my brother, sister in the church, yeah, very hardly. I hate them. I think I want to use a bomb and it explodes. Then I die with them together. But God love me. That his picture show me is, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they did. So this Bible verse corrected me. I couldn't do that. God will do something with them. Not my responsibility to do that. Then I forgive them.
Did you ever actually have a chance to actually talk to some of the people that beat you and imprisoned you and forgive them? Or was it something that just took place in your own heart?
It's in my own heart. I have no chance to talk with them.
So far in your experience in the first half, you told us that as you walked back and forth when they were torturing you and you saw the blood of your own feet and you remembered that Jesus died for you and he probably left a trail of blood too for you, and that strengthened you. Now you understand this hatred in your heart and you realize that verse of scripture that comes and says that Jesus forgave the people who tormented and beat him and killed him. And as a believer, that's what you needed to do, wasn't it?
Yes, because I'm a Christian. I'm a daughter of Jesus Christ. I just follow his way.
It's interesting the way you say that, huh? It was forgiveness was what it means to be a believer for you, wasn't it?
Forgiveness, for me, my personal experience, yeah, I received the forgiveness from Jesus Christ. I did a bad thing to Jesus Christ. He forgave me. I think this, I should take this part in my real life to forgive people.
And I know you're challenging us. You don't mean to right now. But you're challenging me and our listeners to think back. If forgiveness is what it means to be a believer, are there people that have harmed us in some way? Most of the people, if not all the people listening to this program, have never been beaten and tortured for their faith by somebody. They've suffered other kinds of hurts and harms, and there may be a heart of forgiveness. What would you say to them? Do they need to forgive too?
Yes, I would tell them, how about Jesus forgive him or her? Because everyone is all in Jesus' glory, right? But Jesus forgave us. Bible told us, if you forgive others' debt, I will forgive your debt.
Now, Sarah's not a theologian, okay? And yet she's telling us the heart of what Christianity is all about, isn't it? It's Jesus giving himself for people, and then us giving ourselves for people.
Yes.
Now, Sarah, tell us then what you're doing today. You're now in the United States. So tell us, what's your ministry today?
Today, you know, I go to seminary school, and I go to different conferences with VOM and the China Aid organization. Actually, now I serve at the church for the youth group.
Well, you also mentioned, too, we had a little breakfast together today, and you mentioned that when you were asked the question, does it give you pain to see your own video and to see your story flash in front of you again. But what comforts you then when you have to relive that story over and over again?
You know, first year I was in U.S., I traveled a lot for speaking. Every time, like, tear my heart again, broke my heart again. Then I pray before Jesus. So, Lord, I feel my heart is hurt every time when I speak my experience. But God, like, ask my question, why you come to U.S.? Then I woke up. Yes, this is my mission. Why God bring me from China to U.S.? This is calling for me to raise up a voice for the unvoiced who persecuted in China.
The voice for the unvoiced, and that's your ministry. And I remember a conversation we had earlier, you know, where I asked you that question. Did you feel like you were deserting your brothers and sisters in China when you came to the United States? And you told me, yes, you did. But this is how Jesus then answered your concerns of whether you were giving up on your faith and just leaving those Christians to suffer, is you're their voice now.
Yes.
And you may not have picked up, obviously, Sarah's from China and she has a strong accent. She said VOM, and what she meant by that was Voice of the Martyrs. It's an organization in the States that was founded by Richard Wurmbrandt back in the late 60s, a man who was tortured and imprisoned for his faith in Romania. And when he came to this country, he started the organization for the one reason, to give a voice to the people who can't talk for themselves, because the torture and the imprisonment of believers in so many cases takes place in secret. And the last thing that the torturers, the persecutors want is for the world to know what's going on. What are they doing? They like to, as Sarah likes to say, she puts her hands up. She says they're concerned about their face. Yeah, absolutely, they are concerned about their face. And so when you come and give the voice to those people that are persecuted, you're actually helping them. You've got some people have been released from their prison, isn't it? Because their story gets known.
Yes. I know my church, one sister, she was sentenced to 15 years in a prison. When I talk outside, the people pray for her and write a letter to her, because he get out of the prison and 3 years.
I'd like to encourage you and mention it right now. If you would like to know more about how you can help the persecuted church around the world, you can go to Voice of the Martyrs, their website. I believe it's just VOM.org, or just put in Voice of the Martyrs. And you will find in their resources many, many different ways that you can pray for and you can actually assist the persecuted church. And you're hearing Sarah's story. If you would like to see it, there's a 6-minute video that's been produced. Sarah stars in her own little video as they recreate the night of her arrest and the night of her torture. You can go to YouTube and put in Sarah's Trail of Blood, and you will find a 6-minute video where Sarah recounts her story of the night that she was arrested and tortured, and her persecution for the faith began. And it'll move your heart, but it will also show you and give you an idea of what is taking place in the world today. So, Sarah, when you reflect back on those days, what did God tell you and teach you about himself while you were in prison?
For me, I think, you know, I'm perfect people. So God uses different situation or environment to shape me, correct me. But I want to see the Chinese government unjust.
And I was just reminded, the website for Voice of the Martyrs, you can go to Voice of the Martyrs, but also go to persecution.org. And probably that says it best of anything, huh? Persecution.org will give you more information about what is happening on the church. They say that more Christians have died in the 20th century than all of recorded history before the 20th century. So the persecution of the church goes on today. Sarah, how much contact do you have with your house church brothers and sisters now?
almost three times in a half a year because they always changing their phone number. I should waiting long time to get a new number. Why they changing the number? Because in the situation, the policeman always watching them.
And so you do have contact. Mm-hmm. Your family is still in China, aren't they?
Yes.
And you, when's the last time you saw your family?
1 month ago, I Skype with my parents.
Boy, the blessing of the internet in that case, huh?
Thanks God.
That when you can't go back there physically,
mm-hmm.
you do have ways now that you do have contact with your family. And even though you're here and they're there, you do actually get to see them by Skype and talk with them. And I know that's a blessing to you. Since you've come to America, you've taken a husband?
Yes.
Yes. You should. That's the bad thing about radio. You didn't see her face light up when I mentioned that, but it did. Okay, and I think you caught it in her voice. But God's done a wonderful thing for Sarah. And Sarah, also, God's given you a wonderful ministry, hasn't he?
Yes.
Our guest today has been Sarah Liu. Sarah was imprisoned, tortured for her faith in China, and she has shared somewhat her story today. You can hear this again as soon as the program is aired. You can go to our website, which is www.peacetalk.com, and you can pull it down again and hear her testimony again on our radio archive. You can go to persecution.org or Voice of the Martyrs. You can see Sarah's video, Sarah's Trail of Blood there, and on YouTube. And you can find many, many different ways that you can help the persecuted church. One final word from Sarah. Sarah, what would you like to tell, in just a few words, our audience today as you finish up our time on the program today?
I wanted to thank they can listen to this video, and then they will put in their action to help persecuted brothers and sisters in the whole world.
So pray for the persecuted church, huh? And
yes.
When you have a chance to give, many of these organizations are buying Bibles,
mm-hmm.
and sending literature into places where others can't go. But the Bible, sometimes they can send it there. And so go, be willing to give. You also work for China Aid. They do the same thing. And you can go to their website and find out about what they're doing. So we encourage the listeners of Peace Talk to get involved. Help bring peace to the persecuted part of the world by praying for our brothers and sisters that suffer, by writing them letters, by bringing awareness of what's going on in these parts of the world. Give of your resources, if necessary, to help the persecuted church. This is the ministry that God has given to Sarah, and through Sarah is passing that ministry now on to us. So I pray that you will listen carefully and find what God wants you to do for the persecuted church. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.